No, we've managed. Hopefully, this episode is going to record okay.
Famous words, David, for this episode's recording
Fingers
did not
crossed.
go
So wait a
okay.
minute. So wait a minute. What's it saying? So it's going to save what we've recorded so far.
My GarageBand crashed.
Okay, that's great.
And we lost everything we recorded.
Right, and then join them together. So save that file.
Not quite.
And then we can join them together in editing, as if nothing happened.
But it did happen. So here's the shorter version. Episode 10.
This sounds like it's getting an editing headache, Dave.
It already was.
All right, just do your side, and I'll just make sure that my audio quality is pretty good.
I'm recording right now.
Okay. After we return for our interruption.
After the intermission,
Okay. So,
I was describing
okay.
Google versus Apple in the
What did
phone
you just say?
wars.
So what did you just say?
Just that, as an Apple fan, I have to be careful not to let my Apple fandom influence my opinions on what the right.
Yeah, well, that brings me on to something interesting, actually. I was in an O2 shop today. O2 being the original carriers on the iPhone here. It's not exclusive anymore, but they still carry it. But they also carry the Palm Pre at O2 over here.
Okay.
So I asked if they could bring out a demo unit for a Palm Pre, and they brought one out, and I played with it for a while. And it's a very. Have you played with the Palm WebOS thing
Not
yet?
at all, no.
No. It's clearly a very designed experience, whereas Android user interfaces almost seem to happen by accident. Like the developer just puts the widgets here because it's easy to put the widgets there. They don't really think about the user experience. The Palm Pre seems to be more like the iPhone in that it's got the position of widgets and how the user interacts with the device has been thought out, but it just doesn't really work because the user interface is just not responsive enough.
So there's a
Like
disconnect.
if I pull my iPhone here, I can't do it now because I'm recording, but if I pull my iPhone up and I scroll down a web page, even with the 3G, not even with the 3GS, then the page will keep up with my finger. It will scroll with me. The palm, it's like you move your finger and then a couple of seconds later the operating system realizes what you're doing and it moves the page later.
So it's like they
It
have good
just doesn't.
intentions, they just don't have the muscle to back it up.
Now I posted this on Twitter and here's what a palm fan slash palm user sent to me. So this is Joel. That's what Tweety says anyway. And it says, here's what he wrote. At DP Kendall. You can overclock it, easy as installing an app. Runs smooth as silk. Now, why would you want to overclock your device to deliberately? Why would you have to do that to get a good user experience? You should just come. The box should just come with a good user experience.
Well,
It's like.
why would you take that risk with your cell phone? Like a computer, I understand you can fix it, but your phone, if you're without your phone, you're dead in the water.
There's take it in and there's a line to go buy a new one.
Right. Well, lots of luck to overclockers. I sure as heck wouldn't do it.
Wasn't there a guy who was overclocking his Newton a while ago?
Yeah, and there are quite a few stories about that, especially with like the Newton MessagePad 2000, because it's not quite as fast as the 2100, and so to get a little speed bump, the eMate
Jeez.
too. I think the eMate people have overclocked.
Jeez, that's that brave.
Well, now you can buy a Newton for $30. So if you burn it up, you can just get another one. What is
So,
that, like 100 pounds or something? 120 pounds?
what was the dollar value?
$30?
You're going the wrong way again. That would be £20, about.
Okay. All right. Well, Europe is
If I
falling
buy
apart from what we hear, so
if
I.
I buy three times two, Dave.
Yeah. So 120.
Two-thirds.
Okay. No, but you know, Europe is falling apart from what we hear over here, so I don't know if you guys have everything all backwards.
No, we're doing fine. We've just had an election. It's turned out spiffingly. We've got the best. We've got... I was sulking originally because the Liberal Democrats didn't win, but we've got the best coalition we could possibly wish for.
Really?
Take all the best Conservative policies and all the best Liberal Democrat policies, and we've just got this amazing government. It's like... amazing.
You know what I liked? I did some reading on your folks' election, and what I like about the coalition thing is that each party puts on paper what they want to achieve and what they want to prevent. You know, they write everything down, like, this is what we want to get done while we're in office.
Yeah, that's just a standard part of an election. That's what the manifesto, each party publishes a manifesto.
Right. I think that's great. I think our parties ought to put something down on paper like that.
Yeah. Now, the election system as a whole is not that good. We've still got this ancient first-past-the-post system. So it's not... It's... quite unfair.
Right. But, you know, we have some problems too, so...
The calculation is that here in my constituency, the Ribble Valley constituency, it's something like, under first-past-the-post, each voter has, like, 0.1... percent of an average vote across the UK.
Hmm.
So somebody somewhere else has 10 times the vote of me, and then, or 100 times the vote of me, and then I've got, you know, tiny fraction of a vote. So
right.
Hopefully we're going to fix that, because one of the things in the manifesto is we're going to get proportional representation instead.
See, that's great. That's neat. And you have a place to go where you can look that up and debate it fairly on paper. I think that's really neat. So we are to call our Max Macintoshes from now on. that's the position of Sir David P. Kendall.
Yeah. Well, not always. I mean, but just that the full name Macintosh seems to have fallen out of fashion, and it's... seems to be rather uncool, and I think it should be less uncool.
Right.
I mean, still call them Macs when it's appropriate, but, you know, don't start calling them Macintosh books. Right. iMacintosh.
Although that sounds kind of neat.
Macintosh Book Pro.
Right. Well, they used to be Power Macintosh until we got the G4.
Mm.
So,
I thought it was the G5.
Well, we can look that up. But anyway, I like your philosophy, and in fact, I started to do it a little while ago to differentiate, like the iPhone and the iPod and the Macintosh line, because the body of computers is called the Macintosh, right? And then you have the iMac that's a Macintosh, and Mac is just kind of a shorter, easier to say in everyday speech. But I'm with you.
That's part of why it's such a good name. It abbreviates so nicely.
Yeah, perfectly. Yeah, it's great.
Where there's iPad, how do you call it the I?
Right. Well, and, you know, Newton users call it the Newt, you know, to just shorten it.
Apple used to have such good... This is a point I made in my post. Apple used to have such good names, such original names. And now they're just I this, I that.
Yeah. It's with the iPad... now it's starting to get on my nerves, because it's like McDonald's throwing a Mick in front of everything. You know, you get a McGriddle, a McWater, whatever.
A McJob.
Right.
You work there, you get a McJob.
McPlayland. That's kind of like it is with Apple. They just throw an I in front of it, and it just seems lazy. You can come up with better names than that. But then
one of the names people were suggesting was Canvas or Tablet or just Tablet.
Right, the Apple Tablet.
Yeah, for the iPad before it was launched. Yeah. I think that would be far better than iPad. And this isn't like the immediate knee-jerk reaction of, you know, it's a horrible name, it sounds horrible, it's maybe for the ladies not quite have good connotations.
It just strikes me as lazy.
Hmm.
So, but then, you know, I didn't like when when the Macintosh was the LC520 and numbers I just can't deal with.
Like, I cannot find. I'm sure it must be a nightmare trying to sell these things on eBay. Because unless you know the exact model number, like the Performer 6110 CD.
Right.
I think that's a real one. Maybe it's a 60. I don't know. I don't even know, you see. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Because you have to type. It's not like you can do an eBay search like regular expressions, so you can do Performer, and then I want all these numbers in this range that end with a zero.
It's like looking for a Dell laptop or something. If you type in Dell laptop into eBay, good luck, because you are not going to know what you're looking at. So, and now it's nice. Mm-hmm. You've got the iMac. You've got the Mac Pro. Makes it a little bit easier. And I hate when cars do that, too. I hate names that don't mean anything. Like, there are metaphors such as the Toyota Prius, say. You know, that name doesn't really mean anything, but it's a name. Instead of the, I don't know, does Jaguar do this? Like the XK11 or the, you know, whatever. Numbers and names.
Did you just do the Steve Jobs things with Jaguar?
Jaguar. I'm going to pick a different car then. Well, I like the look of BMWs, but I don't, you know, I'm not quite sure if a 325 is up my alley or a 330. Much prefer Volkswagen's Jetta.
Remember when the Windows Phone 7 series launched, or whatever it's called, and everybody was saying what a terrible name it was? Mm-hmm. Well, my reaction was, well, you know, maybe that's not going to doom it, because BMW has a car called the BMW 7 Series. Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem to be doing too badly.
Right, but it's not six words long.
Mm.
It's only three words. I would have been fine with Windows 7 Series, you know, or Windows Phone 7 or something. But
well, they have changed it to just Windows Phone 7.
Right. But not for Apple fans. We're always going to call it by the old name.
Mm.
I think. At least I will. And so we're advocating calling the Macintosh the Macintosh. And be proud of it. I think your point was good, that we should be proud of it. Mm. This is what it was originally called, and it's carried on.
Literally.
Yep. And it's a type of apple. I mean, they spell it a little bit different, but you know, you can pick up a Macintosh apple. Where everything
I don't think
else.
I can get those over here, actually. I've looked.
Really?
And they don't seem to sell them.
Hmm. And they're pretty tasty over here. I'm a Gala fan myself.
I'll have a Granny Smith, or you probably don't mean what these are, but.
You like the green ones, really?
A Granny Smith or an Egmont Russet.
Huh, that sounds more like a potato.
So it sounds like a potato. It tastes a lot like a pear, actually. So it sounds like a potato.
Huh.
Tastes like a pear, and it is an apple.
Right. Well, the French call
pomme de terre,
Yeah, pomme de terre is the apple of the earth. Mm. That's what potatoes are. Anyway, how did we end up talking about produce? This is insane.
Yeah.
Craziness. Gosh, what else has been going on, David? Have you got any upcoming projects that you're tackling besides the keyboard?
Not really.
Finding a new blog provider, maybe.
Sorry?
I'm
sticking with Chirp.
Oh, really?
I'll maintain it myself, yeah.
Good. Good for you.
I found a bug.
That's what I was thinking.
I'm lost for words. It's not surprising. I mean, it's been... Development has been slow for months, but, you know, just cancelling it.
So Chirp is the Tumblr-like blogging CMS, and they just announced that, I think it's just one guy, wasn't it? And he cancelled the project?
Well, it's him and a couple of others, but mainly him.
Mm-hmm.
Like he didn't write the template engine himself. That was somebody else who uses Chirp who wrote that. But most of it is Alex Suracci.
Okay. But it's gone now. It's totally done.
I presume that's how you say his name. Suracci? Suracci? Mm. We seem to be having trouble with these name pronunciations.
Well, their mothers were nicer to us. We'll blame them. But you're gonna soldier on. You're gonna keep continuing to.
Yeah.
That's great. Because even though it's canceled, doesn't mean you can't use it.
Yep, we know that more than anybody.
Right. Amen. That's funny. So, and I wonder if it'll be picked up by any kind of open source people or whatever.
Yeah, I was considering, but I just have too much to do at the moment.
Right.
With the toast waffle and also work and things like that.
Yeah. I've had to limit my projects here lately because I've been so busy with other things, and I thought I'd get to the System 7 thing a little bit sooner, but so much stuff has come in the way. But I guess that's, you know, it's like any hobby. Life gets in the way of everything, so get to it when I get to it.
Yeah. Can I do a pick? Can we do a pick of the week kind of thing?
Go for it, yeah.
All right, I'm going to pick an underappreciated but well-known feature of macOS 10. I'm going to pick Spotlight.
Yeah?
Yeah. And just to show you how people don't realize just quite how powerful this is, Dave, I'm going to say go to the Finder and hit Command F for, you know, search.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just do it. Then pull down the menu that says kind and change it to other dot 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 or other dot ellipses.
I'm in the Finder?
Yeah. In the search pane of the Finder, so just go in the Finder and hit Command F.
Okay. Kind is.
No, change the kind menu, so change what you're searching by to other.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll see a sheet pops down that shows you all the things that you can search by in Spotlight. And you can combine these in any way you like, and it will find the file.
Holy moly.
That is a long list.
Wow, actors in a movie, name of the person borrowing this item, that must be for a delicious library. Yeah. Country, copyright, ISO speed, number of items, participants, pixel count. That is insane.
Yep. You can search by anything.
Wow.
And combine those searches. So, if you know...
Tempo.
Tempo of the music, yeah. If you've not tried searching in the Finder by just choose other as the what you search by, then you can get pretty specific. You can have as many criteria as you like, and you can just drill down until you find the file you want.
Right. Well, and then you can search for all those items that come up. So if I want to look at ISO speed, I type in ISO, and boom, there I am.
Yeah, and boom. That's another boom. Steve Jobsism.
Oh, man. That is pretty cool.
All we need is one more thing from you.
Right.
And in fact, can I do one more thing on my pick?
Sure. This is fun.
This is the second pick. My other pick is a beginner's guide to AppleScript that was published on a certain website, dpk.org.uk, a few weeks ago. the guy who wrote this really seems to know his stuff. I'd like to read his blog more.
Well, now wait a minute here. This guy owes me a vast amount of money. I don't think I can recommend.
All right. So yeah, it was me. yeah, I think this is Apple. All right, change the pick to just AppleScript in general, because AppleScript is pretty amazing what it'll do too. If you haven't picked AppleScript up and you're looking for something to to do with your Mac that might, you know, help increase your productivity, which is a phrase I hate. but if you really are looking for something like that, then certainly pick up Apple Script.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. And it you know, it's one of those things that's on my to-do list in case I ever have nothing better to do. But even learning Automator has been a lot of fun, just to get into some of the scripting kind of stuff and automation.
I haven't dug into Automator that much, really.
Yeah, I use it for a couple things. I made a service, you know, in the services menu.
Yeah.
That's a lot of fun.
Oh, you can do that with Automator?
With Automator, yep. Makes it pretty easy.
Oh, wow. I didn't know
you
that.
You can either save it as, like, an
you
application
can save
script.
It as an app. I know that.
Right. So, the one I made, the service I made is set desktop picture. So if I just grab, you know, an image file, I can right click and set it as my desktop instead of going into preferences and all
system
that.
System preferences and waiting for all the thumbnails to load. Oh God, that's the most depressing experience in the whole Macintosh operating system.
Yep. Well, then that'll be my pick, is Automator and making your own services, because anything that you can do in Automator, you can make it easily accessible just with a right-click away.
Anything you can do with AppleScript, you can make it easily accessible using this service. There's a link in the aforementioned article.
Okay.
Plus, there's also the system-wide script menu.
Right. Do you use Hazel at all, David? Have you ever tried out Hazel?
Hazel? No. Yeah. Haven't heard of it.
Okay. Just curious. It's something I might want to try just to do some cleaning up and automation and stuff.
Hazel. He's going to come up with a load of stuff about Hazel the tree. Yeah.
Or the show. We had a show in the U.S. called Hazel. So. Gosh, Dave, anything else?
I'm sure there is. It's one of those I just can't remember. Nope.
Well, as always, David is full of opinions, so if you keep track of his blog, you can find out what he thinks of a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's always interesting. And then me over at Newton Poetry, I'm going to start the System 7 thing in the next week or two, so stay tuned for that. Because I think I'm going to be able to post to the blog in System or OS 8.6 just over the browser. So I'm going to try that out probably this coming week just to see if it works okay. And
all right. Sounds suicidal.
No, it'll be fun, you know.
Yeah.
I'll have a full report. So,
okay.
All right. So, well, this has, ends episode number 10.
Sorry,
we have some
music.
Right. We have some theme music from David. All right, sir. Well, that wraps up episode 10. I think we've had enough fun and destruction here. So, thanks for tuning in once again.
And, you can reach us at podcast@helloshow.net or on Twitter @HelloPodcast. You can donate to us via PayPal at podcast@helloshow.net.
And keep listening and give us a rating on iTunes or leave us a review. Let us know what you think of the show. And send us an email. We've had a couple from people who might be interested in being on the show. We welcome that.
Yeah, we're having a few guests on the show these next coming episodes, so stay tuned. Hopefully we can get the whole stream of guests one after the other each episode. We don't have to have episodes hastily organized at the last minute without them, so
right.
With any luck, we can work this.
We don't want David to get stressed, folks. So if we can count on David not being stressed for each episode, I think it'll make for a better podcast. You're welcome.
So this is David Kendall and Dave Lawrence. signing out.
Take care.
Friday, something, something, something. Anyway, bye.